Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Taking your calls until 5 o'clock. Another 2 hours to the warm-up show at 5 a.m., 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls here. I rambled there at the end a little bit on Aaron Boone. We haven't really broke down the Yankee game, and the good job by Carlos Rodon, and the idea that the Yankees are getting their closer back. And that's right, he should be the closer. We'll get into... obviously, Weaver back off of the injury a lot sooner than we thought. I guess that they haven't announced it yet, but they talked about that it could be today, and they sent down the reliever who was brought up today. So like they're making room for it. So hopefully he should be back, which will help the bullpen, who desperately is in need of Weaver. But the Yankees do end their losing streak with a solid victory over the Angels. They even played some small ball. Hopefully Judge's double at the end of the game gets him out of it. And Carlos Rodon was good. Carlos Rodon gave up the home run early to Mike Trout. But then once the Yankees took the lead in the second inning, he never relinquished it. He gave up 3 solo home runs and only 4 hits over 6 innings. Carlos Rodon had a moment there where we talked about it, that the umpire screwed him on a pitch down in the dirt. On a swing and miss from Adele, the check swing. It was called a no swing. He ends up having to walk him. And those are the type of moments you look for. And we're still doing it 3 years in, and it sucks considering how good he's been, how much money he makes, who he is. We still look for those moments and how Carlos Rodon responds. Because he was pissed. He was annoyed. He had every right to be. But he tends to not be able to settle back down off of those moments. And yesterday he did. And that was a key win for the Yankees. They get to throw Max Fried today. The offense woke up a little bit, but we'll get into that. We'll get into Dominguez versus Grisham, because I think there's a fundamental difference in how the fans feel about it and clearly how the Yankees feel about it. And then the biggest hit of the game is not the one you'll think. So maybe a little bit of Yankee talk here. 888-808-1019, but let's get to the calls. Joe in Vermont. What's up, Joe?
Hey, I was curious what bat you think the Yankees should go after at the deadline, and your thoughts on Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, that's the one, right? I mean, that's the impact bat. That's the biggest name. He's got the biggest power. He's not a great defensive third baseman. He scares me a little bit in that department. And as an overall hitter, I think he's just okay. But he's got power. He's got immense power. And clearly that's the bat so far of the names that have been made available, and we won't know for sure for another month at least. But that is the big name. There's other ones. We saw one in Ringifo for the Angels. He plays a fairly good third base, probably a little bit better than Suarez, but not great. He's not a slick fielder. But I just, and his numbers are down, but I look at him. Last year he had a really good year when he was healthy.
Yeah.
And we just watched him. He looks like a hitter to me. I wouldn't mind the Yankees targeting him. That's one of the names. The other one, I don't know how Yankee fans are going to feel about it, but IKF with Pittsburgh. To bring him over and play third, he's a Gold Glove winning third baseman. You're not going to ask him to play short. And if you look at his numbers, he's a contact guy, puts the ball in play. He's hitting, he's having a pretty decent season with Pittsburgh. That's a name that's kind of been bandied about, could be a possibility to come here. Like, there's not a lot of great ones. There's not a lot of big-time, you know, real impact bats. I think if you ask me, they're going to get a bat or two. They're going to get an infielder, I would think, because I don't know about DJ. Necessarily, he's been better than I thought he would be. Still not very good, and he scares me defensively at second base. If the Yankees are going to get an impact player, like a legitimate, you know, best available person on the market at that position, a legitimate impact guy who can come in here and really make a difference, I would expect that to be a reliever. I think that's where they're probably going to get they're most either expensive with a dump in a contract or have to give up the most prospect for. Like, their big move and impact player, my guess would be the relief, to bring in another reliever here to help at the back end of the pen. The bat, I don't see a big-time bat coming. I think it's going to be more of like the IKF or Ngifo, someone like that where they probably don't have to give up a lot of prospects. He probably doesn't cost a lot of money. It's just why would Pittsburgh keep him? Why would the Angels keep him? And it's just a matter of finding someone who's an upgrade on some level. I don't know if we're looking at a major big-time bat here.
I know Ryan McMahon was a rumor last year, and he's having a down year with the Rockies. Yeah. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I mean, the Rockies are funny because I have no idea how to judge them and how they handle business and what they do. My thought would be, why would the Rockies be looking to trade a guy who was an asset, who they believed in last year and didn't want to trade him while he was performing well? Now his market is completely tanked. Like, I mean, even if they believed him at all, I think they gave him a contract too at some point. Like, why would they trade someone they believed in and want to keep now that his market has completely tanked? Like, last year they might have gotten something for him. This year they're not going to get anything for him, so why trade him? Now, that maybe we'll see how they handle business. To me, it doesn't make sense to not be willing to move him when you're clearly not trying to win, and then wait for him to completely devalue himself by having a miserable season to then move him. I'd be surprised if he's on the market, and even if he is, he's having a miserable season, as you said, and he's got a contract that's somewhat, I believe that's somewhat significant. I'd be surprised he's a target right now. He's played himself out of it.
Yeah, I think the IKF reunion definitely is a possibility, like you said. I mean, I think he loves being a Yankee and being in Pittsburgh. I feel like he'd be rejuvenated coming back here. And obviously, contact guy, Gold Glover, like you said. So I think that honestly could be a good thing for them to go after and then maybe get a reliever too.
No, I think they're going to do both. I wouldn't be surprised if you also get a starting pitcher. I think they're going to be very active at the deadline, and they should be. And it's not so much, again, it's June 20th. There's a month. And with the extra play, like, we just don't know. We don't know who's selling, right? The Braves have come out and said they're not selling, or at least not, you know, their best players and Chris Sale or whatever. The Arizona Diamondbacks have come out and said they're not selling. Like, I don't know. It's not that Brian Cashman's not going to try and get an impact bat. I just don't know how many are going to be out there. Maybe Suarez gets moved, but again, and McMahon signed a 6-year, $70 million contract. So he's under contract until 28. He's making 12 this year, so prorated for this year would be what? Let's just say, you know, 6 for half the year, and he's making 16 the next 2 years. The Yankees are not picking up a third baseman having a miserable year to bring him over here to pay him $16 million a year. That's just not, I don't think McMahon is a legitimate option because of how poor he's played. I just don't know how many impact bats are going to be out there. If you tell me that there's a bunch of impact infield bats, then I think they would be open to getting one. I don't know who's available right now. It's hard for me to guess. It's hard for me to say. So, I mean, I think it's on the smaller end. The deals are going to have to be on the smaller end. So I would not be surprised if you see them get an infielder. I would not be surprised if you see them get a high leverage reliever to go at the back end of the bullpen with Weaver and Williams. I wouldn't be surprised if they get a fourth or fifth starter to try and bolster a rotation that you got to probably be careful about Luis Gil. Who knows about Ryan Yarbrough? Like, they might just try and get some more depth because they really don't have any in the starting pitching department. So I wouldn't even be surprised if they do that. I doubt very much they go for a top of the market starter. In fact, I'd be shocked. And I just don't know if a top of the market legitimate impact bat is going to become available. That makes sense for them because they have too many outfielders. It would have to be one hell of a great outfielder to have them come here, because otherwise it just doesn't make sense. The spot is an infield, either a third baseman or a second baseman. How many real impact bats at those positions are going to be made available to deadline? I just don't know right now.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Eddie in New Rochelle. What's up, Eddie?
Good thing they didn't have Nolan Ryan on a pitch count. Now, Chris, I got a song for your Saturday show. Bay City Rollers, Saturday night. Just eliminate the night in the song. You'll love it. Now, we were talking about no hitters. You got me a little going there. The first major league pitcher to throw a no hitter against all major league batters, obviously, we're talking about the DH involved here.
Yeah.
In 72, Steve Busby throws a no-hitter. He beats Ryan by about a month.
Oh. You lost me on that one. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Rough week to be a Mets fan, but...
Rough week to be a baseball fan in this town. I know the Yankees won a game, but they lost six before they won it. So, I mean, they're in the same boat the Mets were in. It's a hideous, hideous week. Both teams, the Mets were up 5.5 games a week ago today. That's unbelievable.
They were up 14 in a loss column on Atlanta. Now it's 9. How's that? I mean, you know, it happens. It's the baseball. But you brought up a great point at the beginning with the Mets. You know, you talk about the pitching and a pitching lab, which I feel is overblown. I mean, every team has a pitching lab. It's just
of course.
You know,
and again, when we talk the Mets,
it's not a magical box the guys walk into and step out of.
They just happen to be doing it better than everybody else, and that's why they've got the pitching lab has become like they own that word. Because they've done it better than everybody else. But you're right. Everyone has a pitching lab or whatever you want to call it. They've just done a really good job with it.
Yeah, and they have a lot of arms in the minor leagues. Most of their prospects are in Double A and A ball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Sproat and Tidwell. I mean, because at the beginning of the year, we said, well, Sproat and Tidwell will be back. But these guys haven't had good years in Triple A so far.
Right.
So they're going to have to make it. And the same thing with the offense. You brought up a good point. The offense is scuffling.
Yeah.
You got to go back. You can't get too caught up in the moment. When we looked at opening day, and we talked about the projected Mets lineup, and we said, not to make it a Met-Yankee thing, we said, I thought that the Mets would have a better lineup than the Yankees, right?
Of course. Not even close.
You were looking at the middle of the order. You were looking at Nimmo, Winker, Vientos, Alvarez. Well, Winker's hurt. Vientos is hurt. Nimmo's been inconsistent, and Alvarez is regressed.
Mm-hmm.
So what? I don't think there is a bat. You're not getting a bat that's going to come in here and solve things.
I agree with you. I mean, maybe, listen, they can get creative and look for a center fielder, right? Duran with Boston. I don't know how Boston feels about selling now.
They're going to want to offer that kid.
Yeah, probably. That would be an impact move. He would be he'd be in the outfield for a couple of years with the Mets. That's that kind of move.
You're an American League guy. How good is the guy on? I know he's not that young. He's like 30, 31. How good is the guy on Baltimore, Mullins?
Mullins is good. He gave up switch hitting. He's just a left-handed hitter now. He had a good start to the season. I believe he has cooled off dramatically. But he is a good outfielder. He's a good tough bat. Let me see what Cedric Mullins. I mean, I know that's Francesa. Taylor's a better defensive center fielder. I would say probably, but no, he's a legitimate outfielder. You could plug him in center field. He's 30 years old, and he'll be 31 next year. He turns 31 in October, so he'll be 31 for the postseason. But that's fine. It's his 30 season right now. He is hitting .229 with an OPS of .765. If I look deeper into it, I think he started off really hot and he's cooled off.
Did you say Francesa?
Francesa loves Mullins. Yeah, I've heard Francesa talk about the Yankees should have traded for Mullins. I'm sure he feels like the Mets should trade for Mullins.
Remember Nate McLeod? Remember he was on a big. Remember the famous Nate McLeod? He kept
of course like Nate McCluth, like, McCluther Nutter or whatever he called him. Right?
McClutherness.
Yeah, he was out of central casting with the blonde hair. He'd be perfect for the Yankees. Yes, Nate McCluth. Yeah, listen, Cedric Mullins. That's a good player for the Mets. I could see the Mets picking up a Cedric Mullins. That's a good. I don't know. Some thoughts about Luis Robert Jr. Being traded.
I've never understood the obsession. Well, I should rephrase that. I have understood it in the past. The current Mets fans' obsession with Robert Jr.
Yeah.
He's been awful for years.
Yeah.
Cedric Mullins is still a solid contributing player.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. He's having a hideous season. My goodness, I didn't even realize it was this bad.
He's not better than Tyrone Taylor.
No, he is not. He is hitting. Now, look, again, he's a top prospect. You know, maybe a change of scenery. It's got to wear on a young kid playing for that lousy franchise. But still, I mean, he is hitting .190. His on-base percentage is .275, and his OPS is .580. I mean, that's borderline unplayable. He should not. If he was playing for another organization, he wouldn't play. Those are unplayable numbers. He's got an OPS under 6. Last year, he had an OPS of .675. Now,
and he has a lot of money still owed to him if you pick up the options.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Mullins is a free agent after the season.
He had a great year in 23. He had a great year in 21, and he only played 68 games in 21. Like, 23 is the year. In 2023, he hit 38 home runs, drove in 80 runs, hit .264, and had an OPS of .857. That's a really good year. He was an all-star, and he actually got MVP votes. He finished 12th in the MVP, and he won a Silver Slugger. Outside of that season, he's been horrific.
He also gets hurt all the time. He's only played over 100 games once.
Yeah,
he hit 100 another time.
Yes, that's the only other time. That season's the only time he's played over 100 games. I mean, he's played 65 of the games this year, so he's on pace to make over 100 this year, but he is awful. I knew he was having a down season. I have to admit, I did not realize it was to that extent. That's unplayable.
That's a move you make if the White Sox decide we have to offload the money we're giving him away.
Right, exactly.
And you take a chance.
Yeah. But yeah, no. So Mullins is a guy you could absolutely go make a move for. He's given up the switch hitting. He's strictly a left-handed hitter now. He's been pretty good. He's solid. He's tough. He's a tough out. He's just a good, solid baseball player. He can run. That would be a good move for the Mets. I don't know if it's a real needle mover, but it's an upgrade. And he's a good, solid baseball player. So, yeah, I don't know how much better you're going to get than that. And I don't know what's available. It's impossible to read the trade market these days. It's really impossible. Let's go to Kevin in Copag. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, C-Max, from a Mets shrill to a Yankees shrill.
Yes.
Mets lost 6 in a row in June, and they're tied for the division?
Yep.
And 15 over? Sign me up.
Well, yeah, I mean, you didn't. A week ago, they were 21 games over and 5.5 in the division. So, I mean, it's perspective. But, yes, I suppose. Same thing with the Yankees, right? I mean, if you would have there was pessimism around this team, especially after the Cole injury. And with the Mets, you know, you weren't sure about the rotation. The division's very tough. The idea that you're tied for the division in June and 15 games over 500, if you would have said that at the start of the year, I don't know if you would have been like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But you certainly would have been okay with it. And for the Yankees, same thing. If you would have told the Yankee fans that they'd be, 12, 13 games over 500 and they'd be 3.5 games up in the division, I think most Yankee fans would. And despite the last couple games, the most runs scored in the American League, I think Yankee fans probably would have signed for it. So as bad as it's been this last week, it was only a week ago. Both teams were cruising. They were both coming off sweeps. The Yankees coming off a Kansas City Royals sweep. The Mets coming off 6 straight, including a sweep of the Washington Nationals. So it wasn't. You don't have to go back too long ago when both these teams were playing good baseball.
They're resting on their laurels, C-Mac, whatever that means. But a guy I need in this lineup, the Mets, is A. Eugenio Suarez. This guy's clobbering the ball. Venezuela guy. Mm-hmm. Edgardo Alfonso. Eduardo Escobar. Third base. Vientos is the only baby Met that showed me something in the postseason. Beatty, right. Mauricio, Alvarez, well, Acuna.
They haven't really, haven't had an opportunity. I mean, they haven't played in that. You make it sound like they've shown you they can't play in the postseason.
No, but Vientos' postseason was
great. So that's what I'm saying. So you get Suarez. What are you doing with Vientos?
He's a DH. I mean, his third base is questionable. Yeah. They have Beatty. They think Beatty's a better defender than him.
I understand that, but if you bring in Suarez, you can't play both.
You know, Suarez is playing third.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying Beatty's done then.
Yeah.
That's fine.
This guy's got 23 bombs.
Right, yeah.
His average is, two-something. But
mm-hmm. No, the average is fine.
He's hitting the home run ball.
No,
he's
right.
Probably a Yankees target as well.
I think so, yeah. We were just talking about him. I think he could be. A Yankees target if Arizona's looking to move him. No doubt. I mean, I guess it fits for the Mets. I mean, you could put Vientos at DH, I suppose. That works. You could look to upgrade a bat. They could definitely use that. The offense has been the problem, so clearly they could look to upgrade anywhere they can. It would be a good target. I mean, we all just assume you're looking for an outfielder, but that wouldn't be a terrible move. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Morning, Chris. Good morning, Chris. Good morning.
That might have been the most pronounced of your to get started with a call. That was a good one. What's going on?
Finally, they woke up.
They woke up. Somewhat. They scored 7 runs. How about that?
How about that?
And I'll tell you, you know what the biggest hit of the game was, Stu? What do you think the biggest hit of the game was?
I don't know. I have several. Maybe the Chisholm?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think most people would tell you it's the 2-run home run by Grisham to give mm-hmm. them the three to one lead. But I'll be honest with you, I think it's the base hit from DJ LeMahieu right before it, because they get that inning.
Yeah,
they,
because he kept the inning going.
And Volpe gets on with a walk that should have been strike 3. He got lucky. It was a ball in the corner. that he walks. And
how many times have they called by a strike?
No, I agree. I'm not trying to say. I'm just saying he got a little bit lucky. It should have been called a strike. But he walks. Wells is up. He's ahead in the count 3-1. And you're thinking, all right, maybe we're going to have an inning here after scoring runs. And he hits into a double play, and he just felt like the inning was deflated. And then DJ LeMahieu, with two outs, gets you the base hit, and that's followed by the back-to-back home runs that helps them really take hold in that game. I thought the DJ LeMahieu hit was a huge hit in the game, and that's what you need. You need those two-out hits. You need the innings to continue,
and then you get
the home runs that followed it. So, and then they did nothing for a while, but enough to win.
Enough to win, and Rodon, like you said before, he didn't let it get to him.
That was a good start from Rodon. As far as I'm concerned, you know, he's been really great. I don't know how you see it any other way.
He had a bad start with the Red Sox.
The second one in Fenway wasn't even that bad. It wasn't very good. And their offense is struggling so mightily that you couldn't give up any runs.
Right.
But outside of that, he's been unbelievably good. And even yesterday, he gives up the three home runs, but he gives up the home run early. But then once the Yankees took the lead, the game was never tied again. He gave you six innings, three runs. He never allowed the big inning. He always kept the lead. He never blew the lead they gave him. And he went six innings and gave up three. I was happy with Rodon.
Well, let me ask you, who do you think they can get to bolster the back end of the bullpen? Luke Weaver's coming back. You don't trust Loaizaga, do you?
Yeah, I trust Loaizaga to an extent. I trust Loaizaga. And thank you for the call. Leiter's been good, too. Leiter, Cruz, it's not terrible. It's not the worst bullpen. They struggled at times, and Cruz right now, walked three guys the other night. But if he could just throw strikes, you can't hit that splitter. It's one of the more unhittable pitches in all of baseball. And Williams is turning around. So you got Weaver coming back now, hopefully today. I was going to talk about that because on the broadcast they're like, "Well, what do you do? Do you go situational or who's the closer?" Weaver's the closer. That's what I would do. Weaver comes back until he proves maybe just to get his feet wet. I give him. One outing in a different inning, but just to come back from injury. But even I wouldn't even do that. Like, to me, he's the closer. He's been their best reliever. He's earned that role. I don't think three, and he's only been gone 3 weeks. He really, it was supposed to be 4 to 6 weeks. He upped that. He's back really quick. I don't think he's done enough. That injury, and it's not like Williams has been really good, and I feel really good about where Devin Williams is, and I'm confident in Devin Williams. But it's not like he's been so good that it's like, wow, he's just striking everybody out. Or to me, Weaver is the guy. I still put Weaver at the closer. Something about him as the closer makes this team feel more dangerous. He gives you easy performances. He throws strikes. I don't have anything to worry about. To me, they were talking about on the broadcast, I don't think it's a question. I go right back to Weaver as my closer. He has done nothing to earn losing that role. Devin Williams did enough to lose the role. And thankfully, he's pitched well enough where if they ever need him to be the closer, I'm confident that he can go back and be the closer. But if Weaver is still pitching the way he's been pitching and healthy, to me, I put him right back in the closer role. And I think if you have, Jonathan Loaizaga has been pitching better, he has issues going multiple innings. The Yankees keep trying again. And that's why people, he can't go two innings. What are you doing? I don't know. Trying to see if he can, because maybe they will need him one day to go two innings. And these games aren't the World Series, but people don't want to hear that. You've got Loaizaga, you've got Cruz, you've got Leiter, and you've got Williams and Weaver. Those are five guys I feel somewhat comfortable with. Are they incapable of giving up runs? No. Who is? But I think you want to add one more guy, and I would like it to be a flamethrower. That's the one thing they don't have. Cruz strikes people out. Look at Leiter. Leiter strikes people out. Big time strikeout numbers. Big time. But they do it by getting ahead and then throwing their breaking ball stuff. They don't have a guy who can come in and just, you're down 3-1 in the count, doesn't matter. I'm going to throw two fastballs right down the middle. You can't touch it. They don't have that kind of guy. They need guys to get ahead. They need guys to set batters up. They don't have a lot of guys who just come in and just, you can't deny that I'm just going to come in and blow you away. That's what they don't have. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Raphael in the Bronx. What's up, Raphael?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, good. I have two statements for you. See if you agree or not.
Okay.
With the Mets, they're built, or they're supposed to be built, on their hitting, on the lineup, instead of their pitching. Is that accurate?
I believe that was when this season started. I believe the lineup was the strength of the team, and it's built that way. The pitching is supposed to be, you know, let's not put any big-time contracts on it because pitchers get hurt,
right,
and we can manipulate and find a way to have a really good, solid rotation with some by helping some pitchers we see that can be better. But no, the driving force of the team is the offense,
right,
with Soto, with Alonso, with Lindor. Absolutely. That's the driving force. That's supposed to be the best unit on the team.
So when they meet good pitching, I mean, and they don't hit, they're gonna be in trouble. You know what I mean? They're gonna go on these streaks, these losing streaks, because there's good pitching out there.
I mean, I guess their pitching has been good too. I'm not to say that their strength. You make it sound like, well, if they face good pitching and don't score runs, they're not going to pitch well enough. They have. They've been incredible. But the offense absolutely does have to do better. Yeah, if they score, like the Yankees just scored 30 straight innings without a run scored. The Mets, after the fifth inning of the game one of this series, they scored one run. I think it's 23 innings or 24 innings. They scored one run after the fifth inning in the first game of the series. So if you're that inept offensively, yeah, you're going to go on losing streaks.
Right, and now going to the Yankees that you mentioned, they were built to be, their strength to be, not their lineup, but their pitching, I believe. Is that accurate?
At the very start of the year, before the Gerrit Cole injury and before the Luis Gil injury, absolutely. The starting rotation on paper after they signed Max Fried was Gerrit Cole, Max Fried, Luis Gil, Carlos Rodon. I mean, yes, the rotation was. What exactly are you doing? Are you jumping on a trampoline right now?
No, I'm driving on the West Side Highway.
Oh, okay. It sounded like you were, like, you know, calling me on the phone like Tom Hanks and Big, jumping on his trampoline inside his apartment. Yes. But then they had the injuries. To your point, yes. At the start of the year, before the Cole and Luis Gil injury, absolutely, the strength of the team was going to be the starting pitching and the back end of the bullpen with Weaver and Williams. Absolutely.
Do you see Aaron Boone? Do you think of Aaron Boone as a championship coach, and why? And I listen. Thank you.
You got it, buddy. Yes. I mean, he hasn't been a championship coach. He doesn't have a ring. So as of right now, when I close my eyes and think of him, I don't know if I think of him as a manager who's won a World Series, because he hasn't. Do I think he's a manager who can win the World Series? Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to start going through all the managers who've won championships? Fleegs is talking to Eddie right now. But Fleegs, what did we think of the manager of the Kansas City Royals who beat the Mets in 2015?
I mean, he was great, but I didn't think.
No, yo sucked. He was a terrible manager.
No, I thought he was a good manager. Oh, did a really good job with that bullpen.
I thought I was going to get a better answer. Yost was typically thought of as a not a great manager. I'm just saying. But why I think Aaron Boone? Because he, like, the idea that Aaron, why can't he? Because he hasn't. So what? Joe Torre. Let me ask you a question. Was Joe Torre, before he came to the Yankees, a manager who could win a World Series? When he was Clueless Joe the day he was hired. When he was unsuccessful in Atlanta, unsuccessful in St. Louis, unsuccessful, obviously, with the Mets at the start of his career, unsuccessful everywhere he went. The longest tenured baseball man in history without a World Series appearance. Aaron Boone has taken this team. Again, we say Cashman sucks, right? Cashman puts together these terrible trades. Cashman builds, can't develop young players. Cashman is Cashman. But yet, with this roster, they consistently win. He's got one of the better winning percentages to start a career of any manager in the history of the game. He had them in the World Series last year and managed his ass off getting there. I know I gave you a different route when I said, when someone asked me if, you know, has Aaron Boone ever made a decision or won a game? Yeah, he has. I can give you a couple. Everybody wanted Dominguez to start the start of the playoffs last year. He went with Verdugo. Verdugo got the game-winning hit against Kansas City. And while, yes, Verdugo struggled hitting the entire postseason besides that, he won that game against Kansas City. Kansas City wins game two of that series. This whole thing changes if they're down 0-2 to Kansas City in the ALDS. He also had to, without Rizzo, with broken fingers, had to manage first base between Cabrera and Birdie. And every single game, he picked the right dude. Every single game, they made great defensive plays. They came up with base hits. He did a great job with the lineup. He did a great job getting through that series. He did a great job getting Clay Holmes to the postseason. Clay Holmes loses his job as the closer, and everybody wanted him off the team. Not to call out Keith, but me and Keith had a big discussion about it. He wanted him off the playoff roster. Clay Holmes can't be anywhere near a big game. That's what everyone said. And he kept going to him, and he kept working him the entire rest of the season. Kept pitching him in the eighth, seventh. Big spots, runners on, bringing him in. He blew games still for the Yankees after he was taken out of the closer's role. But he kept plugging away with him, working him, until we got to the postseason. He gave them 10 consecutive shutout innings. And what'd we say? Well, Clay Holmes is good in the playoffs. Look at his numbers. Not an ounce of, hey, Boone really worked with this guy. I mean, he was a disaster, had no confidence, and Boone kept plugging away with him. And look, nine, ten straight consecutive shutout innings from him, getting the biggest outs of the game with runners on, and he's the first guy out of the pen when a starting pitcher was in trouble with two guys on in the fifth and a one-run lead. Lights out. Why do I think he's a World Series manager? Because he was just in the World Series. And in 2019 is the big year for me with Aaron Boone. He lost everybody. He lost Andujar within the first week. He lost Judge for 100 games. He lost Stanton for damn near the entire season. He lost everybody. He won 100-plus games and won a division with Mike Tauchman and Cameron Maybin and Gio Urshela and Luke Voit. 103 games. His team hasn't performed in the World Series and in the postseason well enough in certain years and in the World Series last year, and eventually he does have to win a championship. But the idea that Boone is incompetent and the idea that he can't win a World Series, I just don't agree with. 888-808-1019, because we've already taken calls about Buck. Everyone loves Buck Showalter. Explain to me, Buck Showalter has never won a league championship game. Never won a single game. An ALCS, an NLCS, he's never won a single game. But yet, if you ask who's a better manager, it's not even close. Buck Showalter, Aaron Boone, what are you kidding me? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Where's his championships? And we talk about him, you know, and it's funny because we talk about, like, you know, the getting over the hump and Tibbs and, you know, there's only so far you could take him. I mean, Buck is the proof of that there are guys like that. Takes the Yankees so far, Joe Torre comes in, wins championships. Takes the Arizona Diamondbacks so far, Brantley comes in, wins championships, or a championship. But if I tried to make the case that Aaron Boone's a better manager, people would think, you know, I got three heads. Okay. He's dealing in the toughest market with superstar players. Right now he is juggling, like, think about how Boston handled the Devers thing and the noise coming out of that organization and everything that happens with, you know, a bunch of different organizations all the time. Aaron Boone has multiple MVPs. He's got young kids. And right now he's got too many good players. He's juggling Rice. He's juggling Dominguez. He's juggling Grisham. He's juggling Bellinger. He's juggling Goldschmidt. MVPs are sitting down every single day. Guys who have 800, 750, 790 OPSs, having great years, who deserve to play every day, can't. And have you heard a peep? Have you heard one player say anything other than the manager has my back? Anything other than I'm happy to be here? Have you heard an ounce of any kind of problems inside that room ever. We talk about June swoons, but we never talk about August and September rallies. Oh, they're going to blow the division. They're going to blow the division. They blow the division. Then they don't, and nobody says, oh, okay, good job stemming the tide. They're supposed to. 2022, people hold it up like the shining example of failure. Because they were giving you, you know, 1998 Aprils and May. Their April and May was like the 98 Yankees. They won a million games. And then they went on a month, month and a half long slump. They won 99 games. Got to the ALCS, and we talk about it like it's the biggest failure in the franchise's history. When the guy who hit 62 home runs had a batting average of 89 in that series. But that's the manager's fault. I'm not saying he's Miller Huggins, but the idea we look at Boone and make a distinction that we will never win with Aaron Boone because why? Because he doesn't criticize the players in the postgame? You can't tell me he doesn't win enough regular season games. Yes, the Yankees, I don't know if they will, because it's hard. But the Yankees can absolutely win a World Series with Aaron Boone. To me, it's silly to say they can't.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, 3:46. McMonagle here with you on this Friday morning. We made it. We made it to the weekend. And thankfully for our baseball teams, we made it to the end of their series. The Yankees did get their first win in the last seven tries. And now the Mets have a six-game losing streak of their own against the Atlanta Braves, getting swept. And now they turn to Blade Tidwell for his second major league start against Zach Wheeler. And the now tied for first place Philadelphia Phillies in what is going to be a big weekend series. The Yankees welcome in a division rival who is down on their luck. The Baltimore Orioles, who've been miserable this year, one of the more disappointing teams in baseball. They did take two out of three from the Yankees earlier in the season. And right now, how the hell could you feel confident playing anyone with the way they've looked over the last couple of series against the Red Sox and the Angels? But they will have Max Fried on the mound to try and change the tenor of this month and avoid the June Boone swoon everybody keeps telling me about. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Andre in Queens. What's up, Andre?
Hey, happy Friday. How
happy
are you?
Friday, brother. How we doing?
All right. This Mets loss, getting swept down in Atlanta, is a crushing blow to this organization. And I would like to, you know, get some answers somehow.
All right, let me give you some answers. What are you looking for? What's your first question? Well, let me just start with what you just said. Crushing blow to the organization? I think that's a bit of a stretch. I don't know if it's a crushing blow to the Mets foundation of an organization necessarily. I think it's a tough week, I keep saying weekend because my kids were off yesterday. It was a tough, three-game set, no doubt. It also brings back memories of former series just like that in Atlanta. It's a team that has given the Mets fits over the years. This is the year they were down. You expected to be able to stomp on them, and instead, after the eighth inning of game one, just got really outplayed in every way. Some of the ugliest baseball and bad, you know, fundamentals and mistakes that the Mets have played with all year. But ultimately, it's a three-game set. Now they blew a five-game lead in the division. That's over. Now they're tied with Philadelphia, and they go to Philadelphia and play a team that they've had much more success with than the Atlanta Braves. And listen, call me in 3 days. And if they've lost all three games against Philadelphia, maybe we'll start to turn into crushing defeats against Atlanta. But I think you're probably a little bit more frustrated than you need to be, even though it's ugly, six-game losing streak.
Yeah, just that, you know, the organization gave us, the fan base, some high expectations. And, you know, to lose the series is hurt.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, man. It sucks, Andre. The way they played, the way the offense has gotten shut down, the way now we're starting to see the first cracks in this rotation that has been so good and so, you know, pitching better than we ever could have expected. Even with the, you know, and thank you for the call, Andre. Even with the high expectations you said they put on this team, even with the high expectations we had with Stearns and the pitching lab, whatever, like, we did not expect this starting rotation to be this good. Not this good. And it's been carrying them. And the minute it starts to show cracks, the offense isn't there to help it. Like, that's just the bottom line. They scored one run after the fifth inning of game one in the series. One run. It's just not good enough. Now, we could talk about Griffin Canning's downward trajectory over the last handful of starts. We could talk about the Senga injury, the McGill injury, Paul Blackburn. One good start against the Dodgers, bad in the bullpen, and subpar start here in this series. Clay Holmes' inability to go deep into this game, and now, you know, how's he feeling? It's the most innings he's ever thrown in a major league season. He already had to get held back from pitching too many pitches in his previous start. Like, where are you going with that? You're waiting for Montas to come back, who's going to get thrown into the rotation in the coming days, and he's been terrible. So, like, there are some question marks around this team, but here's the bottom line for me, and we'll reset at 4 o'clock as well. It's time for the offense to take hold where the pitching staff left off. It's their time to carry the load. The pitching staff's been doing it up until June 16th or so. Now it's time for the offense to say, okay, I got you. And as we talked about before with a caller, this team was built to score runs. It's built to score runs and be just good enough with a rotation made out of duct tape to get you to where you want to go. Like that, it's score runs and we'll find pitching that's good enough. That's the thought process of this team. And instead it's been, man, we've overachieved pitching, but the offense sucks. And I shouldn't say sucks. It's a bit strong. But they haven't been good enough with runners in scoring position, and they sucked this week against the Braves. Jay in Phoenix. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how you doing? Listening to you a lot. 3 hours behind here in Arizona.
Gotcha.
Like 45 seconds just to plead the case for Tyrone Taylor. Every time the Mets lose a couple of games, all I hear is, oh, we need Mullins, we need Robert, we need Durant. and we got to get rid of Tyrone Taylor. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really unfair situation for him. The guy hustles his ass off every game, and he's out there making plays. He's got a gimpy Nimmo in left field. He's got a lazy Soto in right field. Mm-hmm. He's Kelly Leak out there. He's making every play, running every play down in the alley. He's never going to hit 300, but he comes up with clutch hits. The game in Atlanta the other night where he runs down the ball and crashes into the wall with two out. Maybe the guy's going to run home and score. Do you think Juan Soto is going to run after that ball? Do you think that the Nimmo is going to run after that ball? And if you look at it offensively, it would be great if he could hit 300. But this team, 1-2-3 at the lineup, you got Lindor, you got Belanzo, you got Soto. What was 4 and 5, 6 supposed to be? Third base, catcher, and DH.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those guys have underachieved this year. It's not Tyrone Taylor's fault that this offense is not.
I don't think anyone's thinking it's Tyrone Taylor's fault, but let's be honest. Tyrone Taylor wasn't supposed to be the starting center fielder either. They went out and got Siri.
Absolutely, but I think he would have won the job over the guy without a lot into the season. But if you look at third base, I mean, between Alvarez and Vientos, you were thinking you were going to get 40, 50 home runs this year.
No,
you'd be lucky if you get half of that.
I get it, but you're conflating two arguments into one. Like you're trying to say, like, when people say that, oh, let's see if we can get Mullins or let's try and get an outfielder, it's not to say that Tyrone Taylor, like, he's not doing a good enough job. It's that, like, yeah, you'd like, you're going to go out and replace the catcher, the third baseman, and like they're who they are. Like Vientos is supposed to be like who he was last year. You're hoping you get that. Tyrone Taylor is what he is. He's a really good fourth outfielder. It's just a good play. It's a place you can get an upgrade. I appreciate him very much. Anything you just said, I do disagree with you that Nimmo wouldn't have chased that down. Nimmo runs after walks. I mean, I think Nimmo has it in him to go chase down a ball. But
he doesn't have the.
He's not as good defensively.
He's injured. He's not. He does crash into the wall. But what I'm saying is, you need a great. You need this outfield cries out for a great defensive center fielder. I don't think Cedric Mullins falls into that category.
I don't think
Robert does either.
No.
But you're talking about DHs. I mean, Winker and Marte at best, that was going to be a mediocre designated hitter.
Right.
So if you want to go out and get somebody to help his offense, go out and get somebody at the positions where the guys aren't producing offensively, and leave the guy who anchors your defensive center field.
It's where are you going to go improve the team? When you say outfield, right? Because that's a spot one. There's three outfield positions. Right. There's a lot of outfielders who might become available at the trade deadline. And obviously, Tyrone Taylor would be the odd man out. It's not to say Tyrone Taylor sucks. Tyrone Taylor hasn't done his job. We need to go replace him, or he's not good enough. It's they need an upgrade with a bat, and the outfield's maybe the easiest place to get it. And Tyrone Taylor, as much as we all love him, God bless his heart, like, he's not good enough to justify not improving at the position. He's just not, man. I appreciate what you're saying, and he's done a really nice job last year, even better than this year. And that play, you're 100% right, to go out and make sure he caught that ball. Anything could happen, right? The runner from third could fall down tagging up. He could slip on the base. It's unlikely, but he made sure that the Braves had to do what they had to do to score that run. I appreciate him, man. I do. He's done a really nice job. If I can improve the team, that's part of where I'm looking to improve it. It just is. I need another bat. I can improve in the outfield. A lot of teams have a lot of outfielders. It could be a place I can go find. Now, if I don't like the outfield market and I can get a third baseman and move Vientos to DH or something, then I'm open to that too. But you got to be flexible, and you can't just stand on, hey, this guy busts his ass, so I can't replace him. He's not that good. He's just not.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.